You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 321 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on a Wednesday evening for this particular podcast, and it's a more positive one than we've had in a while, as the Atlanta Hawks picked up a pretty surprising victory, honestly, on the road in Denver by a final score of 110-97 over the Nuggets. The Hawks entered this game on a losing streak, both in regular losing streak terms and, of course, on the road as well. The Hawks had not won a road game since December 2nd in Brooklyn, and as a result, they're about 10-point underdogs in Denver on the final game of a West Coast trip. And normally, so that's sort of where teams go to die at the end of a road trip, with Denver in the altitude. It was something that was much talked about on the broadcast, and rightfully so, but the Hawks played well early and often in this game, led the entirety of the second, third, and fourth quarters. They come back from a small deficit in the early portion of this game, but really it was all Hawks from that point forward, and the final margin of 13 was pretty true, honestly, because the Hawks were never really threatened in the final 4 or 5 minutes of this game. Obviously a lot to get to with that kind of a performance as the backdrop, but I wanted to hit on a couple of things before we get into the individual stuff. There was a 10-0 run early in the second quarter from Denver to tie the game after the Hawks had taken a 10-point lead. That was sort of the last time that Denver was really within real striking distance of the lead in this game with that 10-0 run. They were never able to sort of get over the hump to take the lead back as the Hawks led throughout there. Immediately after the Nuggets tied the game early in the second quarter, there was a 7-0 run for the Hawks that included Torian Prince's fourth three-pointer of the first half. He actually only hit four all night long, but they all came in the first, 15 minutes of clock time in this game, and that was an important shot sort of to stabilize things a little bit. In the first half, I thought it was noteworthy. Dennis Schroeder had 11 points and 7 assists in that first half. He was very, very efficient offensively, had a good night overall. We'll talk about that, of course, later on, but I thought that jumped out to me in a big way. Really a lot of balance for the Hawks offensively in that first half that carried over for most of the night. The Nuggets did have a 7-0 run early in the third quarter to sort of at least put something of a scare in the Hawks, but that was basically it. They never led again, and there was sort of all the way down to a Mike Muscala personal 5-point run with about 3.5 minutes to go, in which he had a corner three that was basically the dagger to go up by 15 points. At that point, I guess it wasn't academically over, but it basically was from there, and the Hawks led by 16 moments later before settling into the final 13-point margin. Very interesting on a number of levels here, obviously, but offensively, the Hawks were just very, very good in this game. They scored at a clip of 113.5 points per 100 possessions, which isn't, unbelievably good, but it's definitely very, very good in a single-game sample. Denver's defense has not been great, especially without Paul Millsap, who is injured at the moment, but still, the Hawks were just very efficient all night long. 50% from the field, I should say, 44% from three-point range, 12 of 27, and 18 of 18 from the free throw line. Always very helpful to knock down all of your free throws in this game, especially in a night where Denver actually missed 8 free throws. They were only 12 of 20. That was actually a huge pivot point for the Hawks. They were able to take advantage of those opportunities, and that's how you get some hidden points in a game like this. From an assist standpoint, only 25, which isn't necessarily bad, but isn't great either, as they were actually out-assisted by the Nuggets. But aside from that, not a whole lot to be critical of offensively. 16 turnovers is not crazy at all either, and I thought the Hawks were just very, very good offensively. They made a lot of shots. Some of those shots haven't been falling and probably won't fall all that consistently. There were some shots that you would certainly say the Hawks were lucky to make in this game. Maybe not openly lucky, but just kind of fortunate, and that's sort of those hot streak, cold streak kind of things where it wasn't as if the quality of the shots was that much better in this game, but they were able to just take advantage of them, convert them, and take advantage of those opportunities on the way to a victory. Defensively, things were, honestly, I'm more quick to credit the Denver offense for kind of being sputtery in this entire game. Only Gary Harris, who had 25 points on 14 shots, was good, was what I would describe as good for Denver in this game. Nikola Jokic, who is by far their best player, was 4 of 21 from the floor and 0 of 8 from 3. He only had 9 points in this game. Part of that, of course, is Atlanta's defense, but also part of it's just him not playing well at all. And when he's not good, the Nuggets are not good. Usually Jamal Murray was 5 of 13. Will Barton was 6 of 17. As a team, the Nuggets shot 40% from the field and 24% from three. That's pretty unsustainably low. I do think there was some combination there of quality defense and some really bad offense from Denver. Still, the Hawks should be credited for playing well on the end of the floor, only allowing 100.1 points per 100 possessions. So basically a point of possession in this game in a slow-paced game. And the Hawks, that was more than enough to preserve the victory. They gave it probably too many offensive rebounds for Bud's liking in this game, a 27% offensive rebound rate, 14 offensive rebounds for the Nuggets. But aside from that, not a ton to be complaining about on the end of the floor. And the Hawks played well. Again, obviously to outperform the Vegas line by 23 points. It's not something that you see every day. I tweeted about this early in the day on Wednesday, but the Hawks are actually 22-17-2 against the spread of the season, which usually is an indication that they're actually playing closer and playing better than the public would generally think. Obviously, the Hawks have not been super lucky/effective in close games, but given that they're usually the underdog, that hasn't really mattered necessarily against that. But the Hawks played, again, very, very well here, unexpectedly, as the Nuggets came in as big favorites, and the Hawks upset them in a big way. So before we get into the individual stuff, as we always do, I do want to talk to you about the good folks at MyBookie. The NBA season is in full swing, and the NFL playoffs are here. That's a perfect time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up for MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. If you want to make money betting NFL games or NBA games or college basketball games, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site that I recommend. I trust them, and you don't have to take my word for it, though. Check them out. Your absolute self. They have odds on every matchup as well as live in-game betting on every NFL playoff game and even big NBA games, all that fun stuff. You can definitely be checking those lines out in the middle of the game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code promo code LockedOnNBA to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. So if you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at mybookie.ag. So please check those guys out today and take advantage of that promo code. Again, that's LockedOnNBA for a deposit bonus of up to 50%. Thanks to MyBookie for sponsoring today's podcast, and we can get back into the individual stuff. There's always, when you have a game like this, you normally would think there would be a standout, lights-out performance. There wasn't really that. I think Dennis Schroeder was probably the closest thing, though. Schroeder, 19 points, 10 assists. He did not shoot the ball particularly well here, 6 of 15 from the floor, but I thought Dennis played one of his better games in recent days. It was a nice bounce back from him after sort of a rough time in L.A. I do think he's been playing better defensively, and Jamal Murray was sort of frustrated a little bit at times with Schroeder. I thought he played a little bit better defensively than his normal baseline is, and offensively just so efficient. The first half I mentioned before, 11 points, 7 assists, so he wasn't quite as good after halftime, but still a very, very nice, solid, effective performance for Dennis. He seemed pleased after the game. He was interviewed on Fox Sports Southeast and seemed like he was upbeat, and obviously tough to blame him because the Hawks had not won a road game in over a month, so they were clearly pleased to be flying home in a positive way. Kent Bazemore, pretty low-key performance, but 14 points, 5 rebounds, was only 5 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, so not a huge sort of highlight performance. And defensively, he had some issues against Gary Harris, who was great, as I mentioned before, but I thought Kent played pretty well. And a lot of the Gary Harris shots were just him making shots. Honestly, I thought Kent was pretty solid on both ends. Miles Plumlee, pretty understated performance, 5 points, 4 rebounds, and 16 minutes. He's still starting. I do wonder when that switch will happen, where Bud will go back to Dwayne Dedman, who has now played 2 games in a row and seemingly survived healthy. But Plumlee's not playing quite as much, and that comes as a direct result of other guys being healthy and available. We talked about the big man rotation in extensive terms on yesterday's podcast with Jeff Siegel, so I would definitely encourage you guys to go back and listen to that one if you guys missed it. But Plumlee did play less here, still started, but I think that will probably be changing in the somewhat near future, depending on the way that Dedman is progressing health-wise. Torian Prince had a solid game, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, did have 7 turnovers, which is not what you want to see, obviously, from anyone, especially Torian, but he was plus 13, the best number on the starting five, and made 4 threes. I mentioned that earlier, but only 4 of 9, and actually was 0 of 2 in the second half, but I thought Torian played pretty darn well, aside from the turnovers, because he was definitely pressing a little bit offensively, but defensively had some success against Wilson Chandler and others, and I thought played reasonably well, even though the 7 turnovers were pretty glaring. Ersan Ilyasova 10 points, 9 rebounds, 2 turnovers, and 4 fouls in 30 minutes. 3 right from the floor, 2 of 2 from 3. I thought he made a couple of intuitive defensive plays, and really offensively, he had one what I thought was very impactful, 3 actually in the third quarter off of a nice bounce pass by Malcolm Delaney in the pick and pop, and that was a huge sort of momentum-breaking shot. I thought was noteworthy. I thought, you know, Ilyasova just played sort of an Ilyasova game. It's pretty average by his standards, but that's kind of all you can ask for most of the time. We can move into the bench, which definitely had some interesting stuff to talk about in this game. Tyler Cavanaugh and Isaiah Taylor basically did not play. They played the last 30 seconds of the game after it was completely decided. So in the end, that answers the question, at least for now, of who's going to be out of the rotation in terms of big men, as Cavanaugh was, I guess, bested by Mike Muscala and others. So it was Cavanaugh, of all the five big men we were talking about in yesterday's podcast that have been playing, it was Cavanaugh that was removed. You know, it was a little bit surprising, again, that Isaiah Taylor continues not to play, but Bud's made that decision for now to go to Malcolm Delaney, who we'll talk about in a second. Elsewhere, of guys who actually did play, Tyler Dorsey was the only one that really didn't have much success. 0-3 from the floor, did not score in 11 minutes, played had one rebound. That was interesting to see him play some fourth quarter minutes again. I think, you know, first quarter minutes as well. Dorsey's now like seemingly in the rotation as sort of a 11th player. This is another game where Bud played 11 guys, but Dorsey's continuing to get some looks, and I have no problem with that. He's a rookie. You want to see as much as you can of him. I didn't think he played very well in this game, but no problem with Bud using him. And to be fair, the Hawks were plus 11 in his 11 minutes, so it was as if he buried the entire roster by being out there. Elsewhere, Marco Bellinelli, 10 points in 17 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3. A very remarkable performance. Didn't really do anything else in the box score other than having one assist. He shot the ball a lot, but he and Dorsey as well, I would say, were targeted a lot by Denver's offense. Those are the guys that I'd be trying to exploit on the wing, especially Marco. He's by far the worst defender on the roster, and Denver seemingly knew that, took advantage of him, and that sort of capped his playing time a little bit, even on a night when he was shooting the ball reasonably well. Malcolm Delaney continues to play great basketball. 10 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 3 rebounds in 20 minutes. It was 5 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, but was a plus 16, a tie for the game high with Dwayne Dedmon, who we'll talk about in a second. But Delaney is now firmly the backup point guard, sort of a new old role for him. Obviously, he was the backup point guard from the great majority of last season. This year, actually got his groove back playing off the ball with Isaiah Taylor, but now Bud is trusting him again as the backup point guard, and honestly, I think he's playing with more confidence than he's been playing with at any point this season. And defensively, I continue to think he's been underrated for a long time. Like Kale Schnarr was talking about that during the game. He's just kind of, Delaney's just super safe. He's always in the right spot. He's not going to just lock anybody down necessarily, but he's certainly an average or better defender, and that's kind of a very nice thing to have as a backup point guard who could also score a little bit for you and create a little bit for you. And I think you know, he's playing probably the best he's played in a Hawks uniform, at least over a sort of like a 10-12 game sample. I think I really like what I've seen from Malcolm. It's nice to see him playing well, and there it is. Dwayne Dedmon, the other guy who was a plus 16 in this game, 9 points and 9 rebounds in 18 minutes. It looks to me like he's fully healthy. Obviously, he's probably not, you know, fully comfortable and 100% at this point in time, but they're healthy enough to have him be playing a little bit, which is what you want to see from a guy like Dwayne. So yeah, I mean, he's out there, he's playing well, and I think he'll be starting sooner rather than later, at least once the minutes restriction is gone. I do think it was noteworthy that Chris Fillmore of the AJC was asked about them and not starting yet, and he mentioned and sort of reiterated that Bud usually does this with guys coming back from injury, does not necessarily want to start guys right away, especially if they're on minutes restrictions. I think I've seen the same thing and observed the same thing, so keep an eye on that. But when and if Dedmon is ready to go for like 25-plus minutes, I think he'll be starting sooner rather than later. Elsewhere, Mike Muscala played very, very good minutes. I mentioned before he had that personal 5-0 run in the fourth quarter. That was huge. But 9 points, 3 rebounds in 15 minutes. Did not miss a shot. Was 3-3 from the floor, 1-1 from 3, and 2-2 from the free throw line. Thought he played well in limited time. John Collins, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists in 17 minutes. So nice to see him play a little bit more. I think he certainly would have played more than 17 minutes if he had not picked up a fifth foul in the third quarter, because he did not play at all in the fourth, basically. So it's one of those things where I think he would have played more than 20 minutes, which is what people want to see from him, obviously. And after the 8-minute performance, I was pretty confident that wasn't going to repeat itself. After he only played 8 in Los Angeles against the Clippers, he was well on his way to 20 plus here, if not for the foul trouble. So nothing really to see there. I think you want to ideally give Plumlee's minutes to a split of Dedmon and Collins based on the way that it's looking right now. But you know, he was more of a factor here. Played reasonably well except for the foul trouble, and I thought, you know, it was a pretty decent night for John Collins. Sort of on the whole, though, that's gonna do it for all of the individual things. But again, a pretty surprising and encouraging result. The Hawks now play 9 of their next 10 at home, including 6 in a row. Sort of a makeup for the 5-game road trip here, and of course the 5-game road trip to begin the season. So a lot of home cooking from here on. If the Hawks had not won this game, they would have had only one more opportunity on the road to get a win in January. So nice to see them sort of at least not have that looming over their heads where they haven't won a road game in more than a month. So we're back to that. The schedule is going to be very interesting. You know, Friday night against the Brooklyn Nets is a very, very winnable game, so it could be a spot where the Hawks win 2 in a row. But you know, Monday is a little more challenging on MLK Day. We'll keep an eye on the schedule as it is. You know, home games are usually more favorable. The Hawks have been better at home this season, but doesn't mean they're going to suddenly reel off a long winning streak here. But nice to end the road trip on a high note. And I thought, just in general, the Hawks played quite well here, even if they had a lot of help from the Nuggets not playing well, which you know, good friend of the program Matt Moore pointed out a couple times to me. Just this is sort of a classic Nuggets stinker in December or January, and the Hawks took advantage, which, you know, credit to the Hawks for taking advantage in this spot. So with all that said, thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. The plan is to be back again with a Friday episode. Not 100% sure what it's going to entail just yet in terms of guests and something and all that stuff. I do have a couple of ideas lined up there if I do not have the guests that I want to get. So we'll keep an eye on that. And if nothing else, we'll be back with at least a quick show on Friday morning, get you guys prepared for the weekend and all that stuff. So we'll see you guys then. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done already. That's a huge favor to me. If you leave some positive 5-star feedback, if you're a fan of the show, tell your friends, and we'll see you guys on Friday.